I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. For those of us who have read the Bible and read the Bible, we know that the Old Testament begins with the book of Genesis. In fact, Genesis means generations. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." Well, the New Testament also begins with the Genesis or generation of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And of course, John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." And we know that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, according to John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that is none other than Jesus Christ. When commencing the study of any subject, it is well to know its beginnings, the original intention or plan, and the first step in its history. And these we have in the clearest, fullest way as to the earthly life of Christ in the Holy Scripture. Well, the foundation had already been laid according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, where it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." In John chapter 17 and verse 24, it says, "Father, I will that they also," and this is Jesus speaking, "I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now let me go back and read this once again to you right here. I want to make clear that the foundation had already been laid, and the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit continued on as we read in the first verse of Genesis and throughout the Word of God. Jesus Christ always has been. Well, was there a Son of God before the beginning? The answer, of course, is yes, as I've just said. He was with the Father before the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." And of course, we look back once again to John chapter 17 and verse 24. It says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Well, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and as that, he had no beginning. And we see also by studying the Word of God that the Bible clearly teaches that it was the Son who created all things. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 16, the Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And that's speaking of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And then we also study and we see that there are many passages in the Bible that state God the Father sent his Son prior to his mission. And this indicates that Christ existed as the Son prior to the mission. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And verse 14 says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." In John chapter 20 and verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Jesus didn't come early. He didn't come late. He came at the right time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth Jesus Christ. Well, Christ was God's Son before he was given, as implied in John 3:16. That verse says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we also notice that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. In John chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And there's no doubt that he's speaking of himself. He's speaking of the time when he would go to the cross in verse 14. As the Son of Man, he is the heir of God, of the Father's promises to man. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And as the Son of Man, he is mediator between God and men, according to 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." No man on this earth has a right to represent you to God. You, as a safe person, represent yourself through Jesus Christ. He is the mediator, not some human being on this earth. We also notice that Jesus also called himself the Son of God. You read that in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Remember, he was speaking to Nicodemus here. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In John chapter 5 and verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." In John chapter 19 and verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Well, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. As the Son of God, he is unique. He's beloved. He's the only begotten, eternally begotten Son of the Father, God of very God, according to the Scriptures. Jesus said he was God. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus said, "I am." And if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that Moses wanted to know how he could have the authority to speak to the people. Well, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, God gives him the answer. And it says, "God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." These are the same words that Jesus spoke in the New Testament. He said, "I am." He's God of very God. And finally, Jesus did not become the only begotten Son of God at the virgin birth, as some have intimated, referring to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7 is referring to His resurrection. It says there, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Well, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Well, the answer comes and tells us about that this verse is speaking of the resurrection of Christ, not his virgin birth. Acts chapter 13 and verse 33 says, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Well, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He did not come into existence as the only begotten Son of God at the virgin birth. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men." Remember the Hebrew children walking in the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar threw them in there to kill them. But Nebuchadnezzar said, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Jesus Christ. Jesus was there. He's the only begotten Son of God. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He is God. He is the only begotten Son of God. He will always be. And Jesus Christ was God from eternity. He's the creator of all things. According to John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now there are some who hold that Christ did not become the Son until the virgin birth. And they say this, that the sonship was merely a role or a title or a function that Christ assumed at the incarnation. They also teach that the Father became the Father at the time of the incarnation. And this is totally wrong. Jesus Christ always has been. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. We know Jesus Christ was born into this world as human. He became flesh and dwelt among us so that you and I would be able to go to heaven by saying, "Lord, come in to my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Save me so I can go to heaven. I'm trusting in you through your blood to save me." You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.